First of all, to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, we're going to begin our reading at verse 26 to the end of that chapter. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Now, before we turn from that passage, my text is verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. There's a contrast there, a very strong contrast in our text. If you turn just a couple pages in your Bible to Proverbs 27, just one verse there. Chapter 27, verse 4. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? And then one more passage from the New Testament, the book of James. James chapter 3. And I'd like to read there from verse 14 to the end of the chapter. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensuous, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, perhaps you say, another sermon on sin. And this is only the second of the seven deadly sins. Do we have to hear about sin again? In Hebrews chapter 12, we read, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," and that is all those saints in the Old Testament in Hebrews 11 who walked and lived by faith. "Since we're compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are running a race. And yet at times we get bogged down. And it is very difficult to run that race with the sins that beset us. I call to your memory the psalmist Asaph in Psalm 73. He was busy worshiping God, delighting in his God. But then his eyes, instead of being fastened on the goodness of God, glanced over to the wicked. And the wicked had no trouble at all. The wicked were prospering. And he says, "How come? I served God for naught." In other words, his race almost came completely to an end. In fact, he was almost ready to turn right around. "I served God for nothing. Until I entered into the temple and I saw their end." He was filled with envy. And so each one of us, we do well to look at these seven sins. Last week, pride. Well, last week, the week before that, pride, now envy. How can we, as we read in Proverbs, run with rottenness in our bones? So we look at the sin of envy. And it is pictured as a disease. And given in our text is the only cure. And then thirdly, in application, what is our calling? Sound doctrine, if it is truly believed, leads to a godly and a holy life. And doctrine is God is good, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. That's the doctrine that should guide us in our lives, even when we fall into afflictions or troubles or sorrows. We should not doubt then God's goodness, or that God is all-powerful and he is sovereign and he is wise in his dealing with things. The sin of envy. The English word comes from two Latin words. It means against video, that is, to lock, or to look with ill will toward another. Our eyes are fastened on them, and instead of delighting in them, rather than seeing God's goodness in them, our eyes are poisoned. We look with ill will. How come they get this and I don't get this? Oh, boys and girls, do you ever say that? Well, why does Junior get that and I didn't get that? Why can they do this and we can't do that? Envy, boys and girls, is jealousy. Someone else has something and we want it. We want it for ourselves. What kind of things do we become, or do you become, envious of? Maybe the position that that person has. A powerful position, maybe in a bank, or in a top place in a company. Or he's made an elder in the church and, I've been turned down several times, or the vote didn't go that way. Perhaps we're envious of the esteem that some of those people have in their positions. Or how often don't we get envious of the gifts or the talents that someone possesses? Oh, that other kid, he always gets picked for any sports team, and I'm picked almost last. And they get all the straight A's, and it's hard for me. our possessions. Oh, look at their new car. Oh, did you ever see their house? Oh, man. Yeah, there they're going on vacation again. And look where they get to go. They get to go to Florida. They get to go to Mexico. Oh, where are we going? Maybe Wisconsin Dells. I think of a couple in one of my churches. Every Christmas time and every spring break, they'd have all these pictures on Facebook of their vacations and the fun they were having, the restaurants they were going, the places that they would see. And I thought, why? Have fun there, but do you really have to make everyone else of the church that's looking at Facebook see what you have and then say, wow, wish we could do that? Envy is called the deadliest fruit of selfishness. Nothing flourishes under its shade. If you have a garden, there are some vegetables that might grow well in the shade, but most of them need the sunshine in order to grow and to prosper. And if envy shades our hearts, covers our hearts, there's not going to be much good done. We read in James 3, verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." The psalmist in Psalm 73, "I served God for nothing. He was bitter and angry and selfish." And now in our text, we read that envy is the rottenness of the bones. In other words, there's a figure used there, a figure from health. Rottenness of bones. In other words, it's kind of like a cancer. Proverbs 12, verse 4, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." What that means is there's pain, there's hurt. And when we are called to run the race that is set before us, to fight the good fight, can you imagine a person trying to run a race if they've got bad hips, where there's bone rubbing and bone, or if there's arthritis in the knees or in the ankles? It's hard to even take a step, let alone running with all of your strength and might. Oh, may sin not be that kind of rottenness in the bones. And how is that shown, that rottenness in one's bones? When the neighbor gets something new, or has a nice possession, and we are wounded by it. Instead of being happy for them, we say, "I wish I had something like that." In fact, even more, that neighbor's ruin or injury might even give us pleasure. Yeah, he thought he could do all this, but now look at him. Ha ha. It's something that sickens us. We hate to hear about someone else when they are praised or they're virtuous, and they say, "Why don't they say that about me?" And one always finds faults then. His outlook in life is dimmed. And what are the causes of it? Pride, selfishness. There's absolutely no peace in their life. They're not happy, but they're bitter. They're angry. Boys and girls, you remember the story of Cain and Abel. Cain gave the best vegetables of his lovely garden, while Cain brought the blameless, spotless lamb. And Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God and his wasn't. And he was jealous. And rather than learning from Abel what kind of a sacrifice he should bring, the one with blood, he hated his brother, filled with so much anger that he killed him. Or in Genesis chapter 26, we read about Isaac. The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possessions of herds and a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Or again, King Saul. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 18. They were singing songs about Saul and David. And we read, they ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. And Saul eyed David from that day forward, that is, with bitterness and hatred. Those are all evil people, envying what some of God's people had. But that envy is also in the church, isn't it? And that's why we sang song from Psalm 73, Asaph, serving the Lord, but with envy at how the wicked were prospering all of a sudden. His service to God was not enjoyable. But instead, he seemed like that older brother in the parable of the prodigal. The older brother who said, I slaved for you all these years, Father. All his joy was gone, wasn't it? There in the Corinthian church, there was division. I'm from Peter, I'm from James, I'm from Paul, I'm from Christ. Each one trying to make themselves better than the others. Envy is a terrible threat to the welfare of the church. Do you know that sin hurting you, getting in your way from having a life of joy and peace in the Lord and with your neighbors, your fellow saints? As a pastor, it'd be easy to be filled with favor. Oh, it's the famous six or eight that always get the calls, or it's the famous six that always go to synod. Why not me? It's selfishness. We can't be happy with anyone else's welfare, but we cringe. We look ill at them wanting what they have for ourselves. Pride and selfishness, and the fruit of that sin is anger and bitterness. It is suffering within ourselves, not joy and peace, not contentment. Yes, we make ourselves miserable with that sin of envy. And now we're not quite done yet. For the damage is not only to ourselves, a lack of joy and peace, but misery, but there's God's judgment. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes to the churches of Galatia. Galatians 5, verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell thee before, as I've told thee in times past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Do you see, beloved, how dangerous that sin is? Not only hurting ourselves, but our very race that we are to run in this life for that city that has foundations. It gets in the way of that race. It gets in the way of our keeping the faith and from fighting the good fight. It excludes from heaven. What a sin within. It might not seem so bad because no one can really see our heart. Oh, they see the fruit of it, the bitterness or the hatred or the anger. But God knows. And you know. Are you filled with joy for your neighbor who is given something or who has a title, who is doing well? Or do you say, I wish it was mine? I wish that car was mine. I wish I had a house like they have. I wish I had a job like they had. It's a sin within, and it is rottenness of the bone. Those who walk in that sin will not inherit the kingdom of heaven or of God. The path to heaven is the path of holiness. What a disease. A rottenness of the bones. Probably it's just the older folks mostly that can feel, know what that's about. You know, that hip that really hurts and needs surgery for. Or that arthritis. Or a cancer somewhere in the body. What a disease. What a horrible disease. Out of hell. So what is the cure? And that's our passage, isn't it? A sound heart is the life of the flesh. The heart. The heart from which are all the issues of life. A sound heart, that is a quiet heart, a calm waters in our life. That inmost region of our lives. That heart can have an influence on the rest of our flesh. What one thinks, what one wills in one's heart. What is that sound heart? It is the absence of that kind of selfishness. I want this and I want this and I want this and really I deserve this and maybe even God ought to give it to me. Rejoicing in the well-being of others. In Numbers chapter 11, you have the story there of young Joshua, a servant of Moses. And there were others in the camp that were prophesying, and poor Joshua was so concerned with Moses, and he's the leader, and he alone should be praised. And then we have Moses speaking to Joshua, and Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. What a beautiful response. Moses, rather than being proud of what the Lord was doing in his life, he says, don't be envious because others also are able to prophesy, but oh, that the Spirit would come upon all men and they could prophesy. It is kindness. That's a sound heart. Kindness. So that when one looks around and when one sees others enjoying this or that, doing well in school or on the playground, once is good. Being happy for them. It's really love. It is the very love of God toward us that is so undeserved. That love now we have for God and we have for others also. A generous love. We want our fellow saint to have whatever God gives them and say, God is good. God is good. For Jesus says, love one another, even as I've loved you. So in our text, how does this soundness come about in our hearts, these sinful hearts and flesh that we have? Not of ourselves. We are born with an evil heart. But what is the work of the Holy Spirit? What is the work, the first work of our salvation? Regeneration. We are born from above. We are given a new heart, replacing that evil heart. That soundness comes about by God's grace given to us by the Holy Spirit, by His Word calling to us to mortify this sin that is within us, the sin of the old man. Colossians 3, verse 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Do you see how those two play together? Envy and covetousness. Someone else has good things given to them by God, and rather than being happy for them, we're jealous and we say, "I want it. God ought to give it to me." New hearts, God's grace poured into us, calling us away from that old life by faith through the Word. And that faith worked and strengthened through the preaching of the Word. So you ask again, another sermon about sin, and this is only the second out of seven. But God, by His Spirit, is working within us our faith, strengthening that faith, so that we can fight those besetting sins that like to creep in to our lives all of a sudden. Sneaky it can be. We might not be thinking jealous thoughts at all, but all of a sudden we hear that someone is doing this or someone has that, and all of a sudden, yeah, I wish I had that. The eyes of the psalmist in Psalm 73 were opened when he went into the house of the Lord. And he says, "My envy was born of my foolishness and my faithlessness. Instead of keeping on trusting in God, that God is good in all that He does, I thought that I serve God for nothing. God's not good." And that's why another sermon on sin. For as we are running the race that is set before us with the city ahead of us, the goal, we don't want that sin to be rottenness in our bones so that we struggle to take another step. That soundness in the heart, we read in our text, is the life of the flesh. In other words, it's revealed in our outer life. We are filled with love for one another. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that whole chapter about love, verse 4, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not up itself, is not puffed up." Love for God, love for our neighbor. Something good happens to them. They have something that's nice, and we say, "I'm thankful for them." They go on a nice vacation. I'm glad they can get away for a while. Proverbs 3, verses 7 and 8. "Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." I like that text because that text is almost just the opposite of what envy does, isn't it? Envy is the rottenness of the bones. "But fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Instead of hurting ourselves, instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, fearing the Lord, we're happy with what others are having. We have joy in the Lord. So what? What's our calling? Trust in the Lord. He is good. Trust in the Lord. He is wise. He knows how to give good gifts, and he knows what gifts are good for us. What might be good for another might be a temptation to me, might be a stumbling block. If I had that pretty new car, instead of spending my time in the study like I should, maybe I'd be polishing and polishing and polishing on that silly thing. Now my car could sit dirty in the garage, and I don't really care too much. Rejoice in God's goodness. He knows what gifts to give to whom and what gifts to withhold from us. And when the righteous, or when the wicked prosper around us, it's a beautiful sunny day, and we see the neighbor pulling out their boat to go down to the lake. We say, oh, why does the sun have to shine on Sunday when we have to go to church? No. We get our priorities straight, don't we? I hope they have fun at their lake. I'd rather be in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Yes, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. We run with a great cloud. All those saints there in the Old Testament, what a picture they are. Noah, 120 years building an ark with his sons, with the world laughing at him. But he trusted the Lord. He kept the Lord's word before him. Let's go to Abraham. A pilgrim and a stranger the whole life long, when the Lord had promised to give him a land. And he didn't own 1 acre except what finally he bought for a grave place. Faith. A Daniel. Taken off into a strange country, ripped away from all that he knew. How easy it would be for that young man and his friends to say, hey, this is a new world, join them. That's the only way you're going to get ahead in this world. But his eye was on the Lord. Joseph was taken away from his family, and Potiphar's wife wanted to have pleasure with him. Why not give in? Who knows what other things are going to happen to me in my life? God forbid that I should do this before my God. So in other words, how does this sound heart that is fed by God's word and by God, guided by God's Spirit, how is it the life of the flesh? We're not distracted with all these pleasures that the world can hand out. And we're not filled with envy then at the things that God gives to us. Rather than staggering or limping with rottenness in our bones, we are able to run like a young calf that is let out of its stall in springtime. Now, not many of you have been on the farm. Springtime was wonderful. Get those cows and the calves outside of the pasture, and they would skip with joy in the lush green grass. May God's people be that way. Rather than, I want this and I want this and oh, poor me, skipping with joy. Because God is good and God is directing my way, and I know the end goal, that I am brought closer with my God. In my life, what is our calling? Not only to rejoice then in God's goodness in the bestowal of his gifts, not only rejoicing in the wisdom of his giving of those gifts, but learning to be content. Paul, that apostle, that great apostle of the Lord, he says, I have learned to be content. Probably have been brought up in a rather affluent home, had the best education. And there he's doing the work of the ministry, not one house to call his own, not even a paycheck always in his pocket. So there he is with a calling to preach, also sewing up tents for others. Thankful for the gifts that God gave him, he learned to be content. We read in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. You came into this world a naked little baby out of your mother's tummy. And as I've said before, I have not seen a hearse with a U-Haul trailer behind it. What is all the things that this world can offer? Are things going to make you happy? Is your happiness dependent upon circumstances in your life? Or is it the knowledge that I am a child of God by His grace? And I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And He's given me one of the greatest gifts, not only salvation, but His Spirit to dwell within me. And I have a great hope laid before me. We love our God. We know our God is good and wise. And so that we can love and we can rejoice also with the blessings of our neighbors. We're not angry. We're not bitter. Or when we feel some of those strivings within us, oh, I wish I, if only I had, we fight that sin. We fight it by God's grace, led by God's word. That sin is awful. Those who are envious, who are consumed with envy, jealousy, anger, bitter, will not inherit the kingdom of God. As we read in Romans 13, verses 13 and 14, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You and I have an evil flesh, and we have to fight that good fight. Say no to the flesh and its lusts. Yes to God's word. The psalmist asked this question in Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Oh, beloved, as we hear this second sermon about sin within, first pride, now envy. Do you know the sins of your flesh and realize the need to fight those things? They're not good. They're not from God. They are from hell. Cleanse me. What a prayer. May we go home this week. And every time we hear something good about someone else or what someone has or we see their house or their car, whatever, may we say this prayer, Lord, cleanse me from the secret fault of envy. Proverbs 14, verse 30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of bones. Amen. O Lord, it would be awful to hear about these sins that so easily beset us if we did not hear about those sins while standing underneath the cross of our Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that He came into this world. He was not envious of the glory that he had in heaven, but he laid it all down to suffer and die for our sins. And so we pray, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. And if there be any evil way in me, O Lord, correct me. Lead and guide me by thy Spirit and thy word, so that I fight these sins, whether it be of pride or now of envy. And we rejoice in the God who is the fountain of all good, who does all things good, and are filled with trust and confidence. Hear our prayer. Set our feet on that solid rock, Christ Jesus. Amen.